Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Interesting. The news headlines. The Pope's visit. I was walking at the gym the other day, and of the 12 televisions that were on, 6 of them were showing the Pope. I have never been on television, let alone 6 different stations. We have the red moon tonight at 10-ish, 10:15, 10:30. It's the last, I believe, of 4, and it's tonight. We have the 100,000 Syrian refugees they're talking about allowing to come into our country. So many interesting things that are happening, let alone the fact the Detroit Tigers have decided to keep their current manager for at least another year. That'll bring some excitement. But where are you today in your relationship with the Lord? If the Lord were to call you home today, you suddenly had a heart attack and you just fell over, and that could happen. If you were to have a brain aneurysm and you had a stroke and you died, you were driving home and someone was taking a selfie and came over into your lane, as I read the other day of a young woman, 20-some years old, taking a selfie, talking about the song on the radio or on the she was listening to and how much she enjoyed it. And as she took the picture and sent it, she went off into the other lane and hit a truck head-on. We don't know how long we have. How is your relationship with the Lord? The title of today's lesson is simply this: conclusion. On December the 2nd, 2012, we began this series of Sunday morning sermons on the book of Luke. The author of Luke and Acts were, of course, they were written by Luke. He was not one of the 12 disciples of Christ. Most Bible commentators will tell you he was probably a Gentile. Paul, writing concerning Luke, called him the beloved physician. He identified Luke as my fellow laborer. In his last letter to Timothy, he mentions that only Luke is with me. What type of testimony do we have? If you would, let us stand as we begin reading from the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 27. Luke 24, 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this that we can read today. We thank you, Lord, that you not only were willing to come to earth and live your life to fulfill the law, but, Lord, that you were willing also to die for us, to be crucified, to be buried, to rise again the third day, Lord, even to ascend into heaven, and, Lord, we look forward to your return. And Lord, we ask now you would bless this service in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll now begin reading at verse 36, Luke 24. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Christ was very busy between his resurrection and his ascension. In fact, if you would, keeping your place here in Luke, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ had many people to see. He was to be eyewitnessed by many. It wasn't just a few people. It wasn't just the two on the way to Emmaus or the 11 there in this upper room. But there were many that he was to see. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now I'm going to give you a pause, so that you can say amen. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ came to die because we're sinful. And I'm sure you're saying amen, not because we're sinful, but because Christ died for our sins. In verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The scriptures are important to us. When you come to the house of God, you should expect the preacher to preach from the scriptures. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. We find that Jesus was busy during that time from when he arose from the grave until the time that he ascended into heaven. At this appearance, recorded in Luke chapter 24, the 11 disciples and those that were with him when Christ appeared were terrified and they were frightened. And Jesus questions that feeling. Now, in your mind's eye, try to place yourself in that room. This friend, this leader, this one that you saw doing great miracles, the one that has been crucified, is now standing in front of you. And they say, is it a spirit? And Jesus begins to comfort them and he says, look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see where the nail holes were. He could have said, if he would have showed them his side where they had put the spear. And then he says, do you have something to eat? He hasn't eaten in a while. And he wants something to eat, and they give him some fish and some honeycombs, and he eats that in front of them. And he reminds them that he had spoken of these events that were to take place. In fact, let's turn back to chapter 18 of the book of Luke, Luke 18, and we'll see one of the many places he told them what was coming. Luke chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 32. Luke 18, 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And on the third day he what? Should rise again. He told them that this was going to happen. I ask you this question this morning. Why wasn't there a welcome back party for Jesus when he left the tomb? Why wasn't the disciples standing outside the tomb on the third day waiting for him to come back? Why weren't the women there? Why weren't the followers there? Why weren't they there when the stone was rolled away and Christ came out? Not one of his friends or his disciples or followers were there at the tomb. Why did they doubt? And I ask you, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt that the Lord is able to provide for us, that the Lord is able to take care of us? We think of our financial world today, and I tell you what, the world is in a financial mess. You know, one of the biggest problems that we find in the Middle East, and one of the biggest problems is this, most of those people aren't working. They have far too much time on their hands to hate Israel and to hate America. They need to be working. We have too many people in our world today that simply aren't working, that aren't doing anything. What we find is it gives them too much opportunity to have doubt. Well, what about Americans? We're working. Well, one of the problems is we spend more money than we have. We think we've got to have everything and we've got to have it now. But the fact of the matter is this. I've talked about it in Sunday school and I talk about it now, not because we talk about money that much, but sometimes I think, why do we doubt that God can take care of us? Why do we doubt that? I was at a meeting the other day of the Massillon Baptist College Alumni and Friends Fellowship. Now, how'd you like to say that 10 times? The Massillon Baptist College Alumni and Friends Fellowship. Now, Pastor Stephen is an alumni. I am a friend. We both go to the meeting. We were there the other day, and Brother Tim Gunther, missionary to New Zealand, was one of the speakers. And it just happened to be held at Pastor Stephen's home church, where his dad has been the pastor there for a number of years. And Brother Gunther mentioned how they needed to tithe. Can I hear an amen on that? But then they wondered about food for their family of six and gas for their vehicle if they did. In other words, they thought in their mind, we have enough money for our food, we have enough money for our gas, what are we going to do? Are we going to trust God? Are we going to and tithe or keep the money in our pocket? And Brother Gunther said it really wasn't a question. They knew by faith they must tithe. Then he said, and Pastor Stephen, you can verify this. He said the next Sunday they presented their burden for New Zealand, and at the end of the service they received a check for 10 times what their tithe was. You know, I think to myself, why is it that we know that God can provide, but then we're afraid to step out by faith? You know, what we need to realize is that God said, I'm going to arise, and that he did. God said, I'll provide for you, and he will. In verse 44, it says, all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law and in the Psalms concerning me. He fulfilled every prophecy about him, that he was indeed the Messiah. He was the Christ. That they might understand the scriptures. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn the book of Romans chapter 10. Do you believe it's important that people hear the scriptures? See, I understand, and don't shoot the messenger. If you're going to shoot anybody, shoot Rudy, because he told me. But I understand that Kmart has already told you you can't have put things in layaway for Christmas. Now, somehow I've missed something. What about Thanksgiving? You know, the world doesn't want to acknowledge Christ, but they sure want to acknowledge that date, don't they? Yes. But people know virtually nothing about Jesus Christ. Got a magazine the other day in the mail, and it was talking, or a pastor was talking. It's in the city of Chicago, and he writes an article for this particular magazine that comes out every month, and it's called the Urban something or another. I can't remember. I remember Urban. And he talked about the fact that he went up to two young men on the street there of Chicago, and he said to them, "What do you think of Jesus Christ?" And he said the two of them, in all seriousness, said, "Who?" He once again said, "Jesus Christ." Now, these were two young men that were there in the city of Chicago. They had lived there all their lives. And when he asked them about Jesus Christ, they didn't know who he was. One of the problems is that people aren't in the house of God the way they should be. They're not reading the scriptures the way they should be. And let's read, if you would, beginning at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" This coming March, we'll have our next mission conference, and we already have two lined up to come to speak. One that is going to begin a church in Los Angeles, California, and another that wants to begin a church in Boston, Massachusetts. See, why do we want to have churches established in America? Because people need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the Word. And if they don't hear it, how can they believe? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Don't get caught up in vain babblings and in science so-called." He says, "Don't be confused by what the world is trying to teach you and distract you with, but follow the word of God." 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll read verse 1 and 2a. Paul writing says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word." That's what a church is to do, to preach the word. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Let me tell you something, and I'm not taking a shot at our visitor from Rome, but if I was given the opportunity to preach to or talk to, they probably wouldn't want me to say preach, to talk to the United Nations, I would not talk about global warming. I talk about eternal warming. Now, you ponder that. I talked to them about the fact that if they die in their sins, they're going to hell, and that they better get things right. But see, the problem is what too many people say, "Well, it's all right in churches if we talk about global warming. Oh, we can talk about other issues, but let's not talk about the fact that people are dying and going to hell because they haven't heard about Jesus Christ who can save their souls." See, that is the job of the church, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But people today, they go to entertainment centers instead of churches that proclaim the gospel truth. Psalm 119, 105, and you can say it with me, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is necessary. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth according to the scriptures. Jesus told them according to the scriptures. On the road to Emmaus, he expounded to them the scriptures. The scriptures were important. Do you remember when Satan confronted Jesus and wanted him to do wrong? What did Jesus do? He quoted what? Old Testament scriptures. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 130. 1 Samuel 3:1. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Let me ask you this right now. Is this book precious to you? Is this book precious? You know, the fact of the matter is that if we were to tell you that you have 5 minutes to save whatever you have in your house, how many of people today, instead of grabbing the Word of God, they'd grab their technology products? Their iPads, their iPods, their cell phones. My wife has the good one. I have a gray one. It does take pictures. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, how many of our kids can know everything about their cell phone and they don't know where Hosea is in the Word of God? They don't know about creation. They don't know about the need of salvation. That's what's important, folks. And that's what the Lord wanted to be known unto the disciples, the scriptures. Let's begin reading at verse 46. Jesus talking and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I wonder if that was just a little jab at them for not being there at the tomb when he came out of the tomb. According to 1 Peter 1:18 through 20, it was foreordained before the foundation of the world that we would be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The most important decision we'll ever make in our lives is to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The second most important decision we'll do is then to follow Jesus Christ as our leader, to let him be the Lord of our life, to be the King of our life. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, would willingly enter the slave market of sin and pay the needed ransom to redeem us. We cannot work our way to heaven. None of us are good enough to work our way to heaven. We're not good enough looking. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time to do good works. We are saved by the blood of Christ. Thus said, when Christ on the cross said, it is finished. The price paid, the purchase made, the task completed. Acts 20:28 says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Thus it behooved Christ to die, and it would behoove us to accept the gift of God or suffer the wrath of God. Please quickly, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and everything in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May I say this, the day will come where every knee will bow and declare him Lord. Verses 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. To you today who is a born-again believer that live in a crooked and a perverse nation, we are to shine as lights in the world. That is your job and obligation. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life. May I say this? Jesus Christ did not die so that we could have the latest apple. He did not die so that we could have the latest technology. He died so that we could be saved. And then we are to hold forth the light. Because if believers aren't holding forth the light, who's going to do it? Why do you think that we live in a dark and perverse nation? Because Christians have turned off their light. Colossians chapter 1, if you would please. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In conclusion, on this sermon that is entitled Conclusion, Luke 24, 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Luke is giving us the gospel. And he tells us what the Lord wants him to end with. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Repentance. That means to stop something and to go in the other direction. Maybe today there is someone in this room that needs to repent. Now, I don't know your life. When you leave here in a little bit, I don't follow you home. And you don't follow me home. But when I use the word repentance, automatically in your mind, the Lord says, this is what you need to repent of. I don't have to tell you. You already know. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You're going to have the opportunity to come to the altar. And I know what you're going to say. You would say, well, if I go forward and I go down there to pray, they're going to think I'm a sinner. I already think you're a sinner. Don't you think I'm a sinner? Okay. But maybe there's something right now that you need to repent of. Maybe there's something that is keeping you from being the testimony that you should be for Christ. Maybe there is something in your life that is causing you to struggle. We find the author of Hebrews tells us that we're to cast off those things that keep us from going forward for the cause. My final thought here on page 3 of my notes: preach repentance. Jesus Christ preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The Apostle Paul preached repentance. Pastors down through the years have preached repentance, because repentance is what we need. Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." I believe the Lord's will would be that we would see revival in America today. But for revival to begin, it must begin in the house of God. Repentance. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time of invitation, asking, Lord, that your will be done. Asking, Lord, that souls could be saved and hearts made right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.